Call your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And as we read, I want to remind you, this is the Word of God. If we're going to hear from God today, we're going to do it right here from the Word of God. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I was noticing this morning, I've been pastoring churches for 24 years. December 13th was 24th anniversary of my ordination. So for 24 Christmas seasons, I've stood before people and I have declared the birth of Christ, and at which time I've preached about the Virgin Mary. I've preached about the man Joseph, a righteous man. I've preached the message of the shepherds. I've talked about the wise men. I've even preached no room for him in the inn. But today's different. Today's different. Today I want the focus to be 100% Jesus. Jesus. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. I want the focus today to be verses 32 and 33. A description of who Jesus is. And we start there in 32. As the angel shared with Mary, he said, "Mary, you're going to have a son, and this son is going to be great." Great. Now, don't you stop and think about the greatness of Jesus. And do you know what's so great about Jesus? He's a Savior. He's the Savior that to a man, when he was born, there was no hope for mankind. But since He came as the Savior to the world, He brought hope of eternal life. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will" what? Join with me. "He will save his people from their sins." Do you see the greatness there? Nobody else can help us. The government can't help us. You know? Great people can't help us. Even the church itself can't help us. It's only Jesus that gives us hope. Luke chapter 2 verse 11, "For there is born to you," the message to the shepherds, "for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." Say that with me. "A Savior who is Christ the Lord." Do you realize there is no hope apart from this child Jesus that was born 2,000 years ago? Oh, and I want you to see His greatness this morning. Not just the greatness of His birth, and not just the greatness of His mission, but I want you to see the greatness that it took for Him to carry out that mission. Understand the hope that entered the world 2,000 years ago. Understand the greatness of Jesus as he stood silent before his accusers. Think about it. How great it must have been as Jesus stood there silent. Isaiah described him like this. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer, silent. He opened not his mouth. You know, we think it takes greatness to push others around. It takes greatness to take the abuse of the world. That's greatness. You see, I want you to see the greatness as he stood silent before his accusers. I want you to see the greatness that it took for Jesus to submit himself, laying himself on that cross and allowing the Roman soldiers to drive those nails in his hands and feet. I want you to see the greatness that it took when he hung on the cross of Calvary, when he could have called thousands upon thousands of angels and put a stop. I want you to see the greatness as he hung there and he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I want you to see the greatness as he cried out one last time, it is finished, and he paid in full your sin debt and mine. Beloved, that is great. I want you to see the greatness. You see, it's easy for us to breeze through and he shall be great and we'll be called the son of the highest. But don't you stop and think about what the angel, the message that she was delivering. I want you to see the greatness as he come out of that grave, because that grave couldn't hold Jesus. I want you to see the greatness as he rose, as he ascended, and today is seated at the right hand of God to make intercession for his children. I want you to see the greatness today of the life, the one, the Savior that we're celebrating. Not only do I want you to see his greatness, I want you to understand who he is as the Son of God. Jesus, Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, describes his birth. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm sorry, I skipped a scripture there. But what I want you to see, you know what was so special about the birth of Jesus? It wasn't that they laid him in a manger. It wasn't that there was no room for him in the inn. This baby was born without an earthly father. That's great. That is absolutely unheard of. Do you understand? There is no religion in the world whose founder did not have an earthly father. You go back to all the other religions, everybody had a start, an earthly father, but not Jesus. He was born of Mary, which made him man, but I want you to know he was the Son of God, which made him God in the flesh. He will be called the Son of God. Identified by God himself at his baptism. And I'm going to read this again. I know I read it just a moment ago. But I want you to get this. When Jesus was baptized, this was the announcement from heaven. God himself speaking. Suddenly there came a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I want to tell you what, your family is important. But when you are the Son of God, you are the man. You're the guy. God the Father identified him again. In Matthew 17:5, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of a cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear you him. I want you to know today, the world has plenty of religion. We don't need more religion. We need more people who realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because that's where faith comes from. It's not a philosophy. It's not a religion. It's Jesus, the greatest that was ever born. The Son of the living God. And He will be given the throne of His father David. Oh, I love this part. When you stop to realize and think about it, you see in the Bible, we read about, they knew who Jesus, or certain people knew who Jesus was. For example, the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, they knew. When they came, they questioned, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he? Read this with me. Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? The king of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. You ever wonder, how did the wise men from the Orient, how did they know about Jesus? Well, they were exposed to Daniel back in the Old Testament. And Daniel's teachings were passed down from Daniel's captivity. But there were wise men who knew who Jesus was. Herod himself knew who Jesus was. The one who signed the death certificate, if you will, or the sentence to have Jesus crucified. He knew who Jesus was. That's why he had written over a plaque on the top of that cross, and they put over his head the accusation written against him: this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Herod knew. And even though people knew, Jesus has not yet been honored as king. He's not been given that throne, given that place. But I want to tell you something, there's coming a day when he will be honored as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19 verse 11, we see the scene. The end of the tribulation period, Jesus returning. It says, and now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head there were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike all the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his name, I love this, and he has on his name written on his thigh, the name written, King of Kings, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. I want to tell you something. When you read that and you think about that 7-year tribulation period, at the end of that 7-year tribulation period, Jesus is coming back riding his horse, and the armies of heaven are following. That's us. We're coming with him, and Jesus says, I'm going to take back what's rightfully mine. You want to know what's great about Jesus? What's great is the king that he will be, and nobody can stop it. Oh, man, I read that, I think, wow. I love that. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Glory to God, that day's coming. And he will reign forever. He will reign forever. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. Of his kingdom there will be no end. We talk about how bad things are in the world. But I want to tell you something. I want to offer you some hope today. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Oh, no, brother. Oh, yes. When Jesus comes back, he establishes that kingdom, and he's sitting on the throne of his father David, and he's ruling this world. No longer will it be democracies. No longer will it be special interest. It will just be the Son of God ruling in righteousness. And that kingdom, my friends, will last forever and ever. Now I realize that this is that this from the book of Revelation 21 starting the 1,000-year reign, but I just want you to read about what it's going to be like. And it says in Revelation 21 verse 3, "And I heard a voice, a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear." Is that not a message of hope? Are you hurting today? Let me tell you about the greatness of this Savior that we celebrate His birth. One of these days you're not going to hurt anymore, because God's going to, He's going to wipe away that tear. He's going to wipe away that pain. There shall be no more death. No more will we have to gather at a graveyard and say goodbye to a loved one. There shall be no more sorrow. There shall be no more crying. There shall be no more pain. Can you imagine a life without pain? So many are plagued with different pains today. That's coming to an end. "For the former things have passed away." Then He who sat on the throne says, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, these words are true and faithful." And He said to me, who sat on the throne, "Then He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, did that not change? There we go. Sorry. "And He said to me, It is done." I said this was before the 1,000-year reign. It's not. It's the beginning of eternity, when the new Jerusalem has come down. But I want you to think about it. It is done. You know why Christmas is so special? Because it is a time of hope. It is a time when we realize, oh my goodness, yes, there is a Jesus. Yes, He did die for our sins. Yes, He's still alive. And yes, He is coming again. And yes, He will one day set up His kingdom. I love this next part. "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega." Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. "I'm the beginning and the end. I will give of the foundation of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." My friends, do you realize the hope here? Yes, it is going to get better. Jesus said, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you, and I want you to know this. I was here before anything was ever created. I spoke it into existence. I'm the Alpha. I'm the beginning. And I want you to tell you this. He says, I'll be here when it's all said and done. When the smoke clears, and we can talk about the Gog and the Magog wars and the burying of people that it takes 7 years. There's so many dead. But I want to tell you, there's coming a better day that extends beyond prophecy into eternity, that we know that Jesus Christ will rule and reign as the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and that His kingdom will never end. You've heard the old saying, all good things must end. This is one good thing that will not end. Oh, friends, a lot has happened in 6,000 years. We started in a garden. Sinless perfection, man in a perfect relationship with their God. We moved on to the rebellion, the sin of man, the rejection of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus. Since that time, there have been many saints of God who've sacrificed their lives, given themselves for the message of the gospel to be proclaimed. But Jesus says, I just want you to know this. I was there when it started, I'll be here when it's over. You want to know what Christmas is about? Christmas is about Jesus. Now, we took this message from basically from Genesis to Revelation. And I want to point one more thing out to you, okay? Mary said, how can this be? How can this be? This is the neatest thing about this message, okay? How can this be? And the angel explains, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. I want you to think about how far-fetched this is. This is a virgin. She's never been with a man. She's told, you're going to have a baby. First of all, That's unheard of. Never been done, okay? And so you understand her questioning, how can this be? Secondly, he's given a list of who Jesus is going to be. He should be great. He should be called the Son of the Highest. You see how far-fetched this story is? Do you see how way out there it is? And so Mary, as she asks, how can this be? I understand, don't you? I mean, this is, let's face it, this is unbelievable. If you were to come to me today and tell me that you had, were a lady and that you had never been with a man and you're going to have a baby and he's going to be the Son of God, guess what? I'm going to look at you and say, yeah, right. But I want you to notice in verse 37, the angel answers the question. He says, oh yeah, it's going to happen. And here's why. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, the translation, every translation translate verse 37 the same way, but they leave something out. I want to give you a literal translation of how that reads, okay? For not, it will be impossible. With God, every single word. Okay? So if you're not careful, you'll think, well, with God, nothing's impossible. And it does mean that. But it goes deeper. Jesus is not just, or God is not just saying, I can do anything, which we know He can, right? God is not only saying, I can do anything, but He's saying, here it is. Here's what I want you to get. I can do anything, and I will accomplish every single word that I have just told you. I don't know why the translation left out Rama, the Greek word Rama, every single word. I don't know why they left that out of the translation, but they did. Because, see, when you read it and you realize, hey, God said, I can do it and I will do every single word that I've told you. You go back and you read about the greatness of God. Not only is he going to, as a virgin, going to have a baby, but He's going to be the Son of God. And you're going to, and you begin to understand that He will be the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And of His kingdom there will be no end. And you can back up and you can say, well, how's all this going to happen? And I'll look at you and I'll say, because God said it would happen. And He said, I will do every single word I've told you. Isn't that cool? It's just because I've said it. It's what God is saying. Oh, my friends, I want you to see the glory of Jesus that extends beyond a manger. I want you to understand the hope of the future that extends beyond wise men and shepherds. And all those things are really cool. Today, I want you to understand that if apart from Jesus, there is no hope. But with Jesus, there's eternity of joy and salvation and rejoicing. Today, I want you to see the hope that extends beyond the Virgin Mary. Today, I want you to know that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, yes, there is hope. And I know the world, the story of the world. You came from monkeys and you evolved into what you are. And I'm going to tell you, no, I was made in the image of God. Okay? And you didn't come from a monkey. You're not a nobody. You were made in the image of God. Now, Satan may have got a hold of your life and messed things up pretty bad, but I want to tell you about the hope. The hope called Jesus Christ. Friends, if you're a child of God, it's going to get better. Okay? Because one of these days, Jesus is going to take over. But if you're not a child of God, it's not going to get better. You see, when Jesus takes over, there's going to be judgment. For those who are lost, it's the great white throne judgment. In which you'll hear the words, depart from me, for I never knew you. That time when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. It's eternal suffering. But if you're a child of God, oh, let me tell you something. Worship today was good, wasn't it? Dale, the choir, the specials, everybody did a wonderful job. But that'll pale in comparison to when we get to heaven. Are you going to heaven? The only way is faith in Jesus Christ. If you're not here, or if you're not saved, wouldn't Christmas be the day to give your life to Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be the day? Maybe you're here today. And, you know, some people get the holiday blues, and I can appreciate that. But I just want to remind you, if you're kind of blue for the holidays, if you're a child of God, you've got no reason to be blue. Okay? There's a hope that extends beyond today, next week, next month, and next year. There's an expectation for you that extends into eternity. The invitation is about to be given. If you need to be saved, will you come? If you need to spend time at the altar, will you come? Whatever commitments you need to make, will you celebrate the greatness of God through Jesus Christ by committing your life to Jesus?